God has a very unusual sense of humor. And we're going to find that in these chapters that we're going to study from the book of 1 Samuel today. Now, Eli and his sons have died. Samuel is now the prophet of God. They have died in battle. And now we have, in fifth chapter of 1 Samuel, the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was in here in the tabernacle right there. And the Israelites thought that they could use the Ark of the Covenant like a good luck charm. Well, they were not in the will of God at all. And God allowed the Philistines. The Philistines at first were very afraid. When they heard them shouting and everything, they said, they brought God among us. They brought their Eloheinu among us. What's going to happen to us? Some of the leaders stood up, don't be afraid, just go out there and fight. And of course, they whipped the Israelites, and both of Eli's sons were killed. Then Eli fell over backwards and broke his neck, and he died. And now the Philistines are stuck with the Ark of God. They should have realized how powerful Jehovah was and just walked off and left the ark there, out there sitting in the field someplace. But they didn't. They thought Jehovah was just like any other god. But he's not. In the last message, we talked about the God who hears and answers prayers. Now let's go and see what it says here. The one priest's daughter had a child, and she called his name Ichabod. The glory had departed. Now the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it to Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon and set it up by Dagon, they were going to put this Ark of the Covenant in there, and it would become one of their gods. So they put it in the house of Dagon. Dagon was the dog means fish. Dagon was a fish god. Some sort of Leviathan fish god. And when the Ashdodites arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him back on his place again. They didn't have to do anything with the Ark of the Covenant. God's going to take care of that. But now they're having to repair their gods. They're having to repair their god. Well, when they rose up early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk or the body of Dagon was left to him. Now, Dagon falls down before the ark of God. He's their god, remember? But God is even God to the inanimate object, and Dagon was an inanimate object. And he caused Dagon to fall down. His head was chopped off, and his hands were chopped off. And now the only thing left is his body. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. And to this day, it meant to that day of the writing of this book. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the Ashdodites, and he ravaged them and smote them with hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids. That word, there's a couple of words there in Hebrew, but basically it means to swell. Even a mountain is called a swelling, where a hill comes up. And these, God smote them with hemorrhoids. Simple as that. Hemorrhoids are not comfortable. People have hemorrhoid operations. That's one of the most painful operations there is, because there's so many nerves there. and this has really got their attention fast. Now, not only one of them had hemorrhoids, all of them had hemorrhoids. It says in some of the translation tumors, but it's hemorrhoids. And he ravaged them and smoked them with hemorrhoids, both the Ashdod and its territories. Now, these people are struck out of their senses. They don't understand. They're God. They pray to him and everything. They have to feed him. They make sacrifices to him. But now, Jehovah is a God of action. And he strikes them in the backside. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is severe upon us and upon Dagon, our God." I don't want a God. I'd want to choose the strongest God, wouldn't you? Not the lesser. So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they said, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." And they brought the ark of God and Israel around. And it came about that after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city and very great confusion. And he smote the men of the city, both young and old, so that hemorrhoids broke out on them. Hemorrhoids. Everybody has hemorrhoids now. And so they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it happened, the ark of God came to Ekron. The Ekronites cried out, saying that they had brought the ark of God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people. And they sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines. And they said, "Send away the ark of God of Israel, and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us or our people." For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with hemorrhoids. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. They just started screaming up to the heavens. Wow, oh, pain, pain and misery. Everybody was in pain and misery. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and diviners. "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, we shall send it to its place. Tell us how we'll send it to its place." And they said, "If you send it away, the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty-handed." That word raka comes from that word. "Do not send it away raka. But you shall surely return to him a guilt offering, that you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." And they said, "What shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him?" And they said, 5 golden hemorrhoids. I guess donut-shaped type of gold hemorrhoids. "And 5 golden mice according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, one for the plague that was on all of you and on your lords." So now we've got hemorrhoids and mice. They're going to make golden images of these hemorrhoids and mice. "So you shall make likeness of your hemorrhoids and likeness of your mice that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you and your gods and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had severely dealt with them? Did they not allow the people to go and they departed? Now therefore take and prepare a new cart." These are the instructions. Prepare a new cart. Don't go get some old jalopy cart out there someplace out of a junkyard. Prepare a brand new cart. You want to impress the God of Israel. You're not going to send an old jalopy cart to him. You're going to have a brand new cart. "And I want you to get 2 milk cows on which there has never bend a yoke and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves away home from them. Now these two cows, these two milk cows, have young calves nursing them. And a cow will very much protect its young, won't it? I mean, if you've ever been around cattle and a cow has a baby calf, Katie, bar the door. I have seen on YouTube, and I have seen this in real life too. If you go on YouTube, you'll see cowboys out there, and they'll get off their horse. They will go out there, and they will rope a calf, and the horse will keep the cow away from the cowboy as he doctors and earmarks and vaccinates the young calf, because that cow is going to be right there. Now, I've seen people train mules to do that and horses both to do this, and sometimes they'll use their dogs to keep the cow off of them while they can doctor the calf. So now we've got two cows with newborn calves, and they're full of milk, and the calves are screaming and bawling for them, and the cows are screaming and bawling for the calves. And take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart and put the articles of gold which you have returned to him as a guilt offering in a box by its side. Now take them and have another box over there. Here's the ark of the covenant. Don't mess with that now because it'll kill you. But take another box and put in the box. Put the golden offerings, the hemorrhoids and the mice, into the box by the side of the ark. And watch. Now, the cows are going to go back to their calves, aren't they? Go back to the farms where they were raised. Normally. But now these people are really wanting to find out if the God of Israel is for real. They know that they've been plagued already. But they want to know if the God of Israel can control those cattle and lead them back home away from their calves. And that's a strong maternal institute for a cow, in instinct. And watch if it goes the way of its own territory, Beth Shemesh, and then he has done this great evil. Their God has done it then. He's the one that did all this. But if not, then we shall know that it was not his hand that struck us, and that it happened to us all by chance. They all got hemorrhoids at the same time. Every place the Ark of the Covenant went, they were struck with hemorrhoids and mice. Then the men did so, and they took the two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they put the Ark of the Lord on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the likeness of their hemorrhoids. And the cows took the straight way, the direction of Beth Shemesh, God's leading them. And they went along the way, lowing as they went, and did not turn to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they raised their eyes and saw the ark and were glad to see it. Now these boys of Eli were really bad. And many people died because of what those boys did. Many people died because of them. And in a way today, in false religious system, in Catholicism, in Jehovah's Witness, in Mormonism, many people will die because of the leaders, because of their sins, leading people away from God. And the cart came into the field of Joshua the Bethlehemite and stood there where it was a large stone. And they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. They slaughtered the cows and they offered them as a burnt offering to God. They were glad to see the Ark of the Covenant back. And Levites took down the Ark of the Lord and the box that was with it, and in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone, and the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices that day to the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Akron that day. And these are the golden hemorrhoids which the Philistines returned for a guilt offering to the Lord one for Ashdod and one for Gaza, and for Ashkelon, and one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden mice, according to the number of the cities of the Philistine, belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and of country and villages, and the large stone on which they set the ark of the Lord, is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. And he struck down some of the men of Bethshemite because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Leave your hands. They have no business touching it. Nobody was supposed to touch the ark of the Lord. They had poles that they ran through rings on the side of it, and they lifted it. No way should they have lifted the mercy seat, which the two cherubs, angels, stood, but they did. And he struck down all the people, 50,070 men, and the people mourned because of the Lord and struck the people with great slaughter. Now, some of the Bible commentaries have said that they were probably not 50,000 people, because the numbers were sometimes intermixed and copying. We don't know how many were, but the Bible is inspired in the original language and the original autographs. Sometimes things are copied. So maybe they said maybe not 50,070 men. But we have here 50,070 men. If there was 50,070 men, there were 5,070 of them. And the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Bethshemesh said, who's able to stand before the Lord, the holy God? And to whom shall we go up from? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you. Kirioth. There was a man in the New Testament. Remember him, Judas? Issachariath? This is what it is here, Issachariath. Judas, man from Kirioth, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord and come down and take it up to you. And the men of the Kirioth Jearim came, and they took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came about from that day forward, the ark remained at Kirioth, and the time was long. For it was 20 years all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you. Ashtoreth were idols. From among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. And the sons of Israel removed the Baals, the Lords. That's what Baals means, Lords. And the Ashtaroth, and served the Lord alone. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. And they gathered to Mizpah, and they drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted all that day. And he said, there we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines, because they had been whipped, remember? The last battle they had with them, they were devastated. And they took the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know what they knew all about all this other business in the background, the hemorrhoids and the mice. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them. You would not think that the Philistines were stupid enough to come back here and mess with the God of Israel again. But they did. They had still been trusting in their pagan gods, so that they were routed before Israel. And then the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and it set it up between Mizpah and Shan and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel, all of his life. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he used to go annually on a circuit to Bethel and to Gilgal and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all of these places. Now what he did is, if anybody had a kind of a problem, a legal problem, they came to Samuel. And Samuel, by the, what we might call, by the hand of the Lord, or by the instruction of the Lord, would judge them. And he would tell them what to do. He was like a commander in general too. Commander in chief. Then his return was to Marama, for his house was there. And there he judged Israel, and he built an altar there unto the Lord. Verse number 8 now, or chapter number 8. And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his son judges over Israel. Now he had boys. Now he had seen what happened to Eli. Well, evidently, he didn't learn the lesson. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they were judging in Beersheba. And his sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel in Ramah. And they said, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king for us to judge us like all the rest of the nations." But the king was displeased. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, when they said, "Give us a king to judge over us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. Though they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." Before this, it was called a theocracy. And now they're going to have a king. "Like all the deeds which they have done since the day I brought them up out from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Thou then listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them." Now, God always planned on Israel having a king. He always planned on it. In the last words of Jacob's life, or Israel's life, he told them that they were going to have a king. And this king would be of the tribe of Judah. And we'll go back and read that in our next message that we have. Our Father, we send this message out to you. The Old Testament has got so many rich gold mines in it, and just precious jewels all over. And we send this message out to your people that they might learn from it, that they might enjoy close fellowship with you all the days of their life. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And use your word to honor and glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.